Welcome to our podcast, Sprinkled with Hope. This is your host, Jason. And today we have an amazing guest on our show, Hal Halvorsen, who's known as the Candy Bomber. He is awesome. He was on his daughter's phone, so there, we had a little bit of connection issues, but still his message is amazing.
He's really cool. He is awesome. He actually just turned 100 years young, so he has a lot of knowledge and experience. Please listen in and listen to Hal Halvorsen give his rendition of how he became the Candy Bomber.
Welcome to the Sprinkled with Hope podcast.
Welcome to Sprinkle with Hope podcast with your host, Jason. Today, we are so, so excited to have Hal Halvorsen with us today. He's known as AKA the Candy Bomber. He will be today our oldest guest on our show. He just celebrated his 100th birthday in October, which is amazing. So cool. Hal's done some really, really amazing things in his life and has just helped people and shown a lot of love to those in especially Germany at a time when they were in war and crisis in World War II. And so, Hal, there's something I wanted to talk to you about. You had mentioned this saying a little while ago, a couple of years ago, I think, but you said the small things you do turn into great things. Can you talk about that a little bit and kind of what you meant by that when you said that?
Well, raising on a farm in the Darling, Utah, I was pretty proud because I had a horse. And I always thought that pressing the envelope a little bit, and I wasn't very big, and I had this big horse. And I always thought back, think about the big picture and not the small details. So I always was helping the neighbors when I got work on the farm. And I just like to do new things. So before I got in college, I got a flight scholarship from the FAA to get a private pilot license. And I got that and loved it a lot. And put in money with four or five other kids and bought an old wreck of an airplane. And so that is the best part of life, working on the farm, and nature and helping Dad, and later on joining the Air Corps and getting a private pilot license before I got the Air Corps. So I've had a good life and enjoyed every bit of it.
That's great. Thank you so much for your service. You spent quite a bit of time in the Air Force, if I'm correct. The Germans, they also, you know, besides Candy Bomber, they would call you Uncle Wiggle Wings because you would flap the plane so they knew that it was you and you were the one dropping the candy. Is that correct? that was the...
Yep, Uncle Wiggly Wings, Berlin Candy Bomber.
Yeah, that's great.
Tell about why you're called Uncle Wiggly Wings.
Well, one day at the Tempelhof Air Base in Berlin, Germany, I was out of the flight line. And there's a fence around the place, and I was on the outside the fence making movies. And a bunch of kids come on the outside the fence, starts on the inside, and talking to me and trying to cheer me up. And I'm trying to cheer them up. It says, we'll never give up on you. We're very committed to feed you, and we're going to do that until they fix the problem of the Soviet Union. So they were friends. They said, don't worry about us. We don't have to have enough to eat. Just give us enough to stay alive. Someday we'll have enough to eat. But if we lose our freedom, we'll never get it back. Kids, 10 to 14, teaching me about freedom. A former dictatorship. So these kids were great. They knew the good from the bad by having to taste of the bad. And they said, just don't worry about us, my friend. Someday we'll have enough.
That's pretty profound for kids that age to teach you a lesson like that was pretty amazing.
Unbelievable. Coming from a land raised on a farm, everything we had to eat, we raised about, and what we didn't, we bought. And we just didn't realize how lucky we were. Look at these kids, and they had their food cut off from them and their parents, and they were worried. They just says, someday we'll have enough to eat, but if we lose our freedom, we'll never get it back.
Yeah.
I just remember those words so clear.
Yeah, I think often
they knew what dictatorship was like.
Yeah.
And they knew what freedom was like.
Yep.
And it was like a breath of fresh air to them in the city of Berlin.
Yeah, I think sometimes we overlook those small things that kids sometimes have to teach us as adults, that, you know, if we don't do certain things, then we might not be as happy as we could be.
That's right. And we need to be grateful and active and join our American citizenship.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. So Hal, do you want to talk about how did these kids react when you would drop this candy to them and give them these treats and stuff like that? How would they react when you did that?
Well, it's out of their gourd to think that they didn't have any, and it's come free from this guy. And they said, we don't eat it all at once. Even if you get a little bit, we save part of it. And they're just eyes sparkling. And they said, look, you're getting this missing part of Berlin. There's a district there or there. And gave me the name of the district. And they want it too. But we've got it. And we came here to thank you for it.
That's really cool.
I was up there in the sky. The plane flew over. And all of a sudden, a whole bunch of candy bars on hanks of parachutes came out of the airplane. And we just wanted to thank you and appreciate it. If you can't do any more, that's all right. But we knew what it was like for a little while. So we over the whole blockade, the period of blockade, about almost a year, we dropped 23 tons of chocolate bars, my buddy and I.
Wow.
Candy companies says, how much do you want and where do you want it sent? And they sent it to them. We had a big map in operations. So when somebody picked up a bunch of candy, they'd put a mark on the map where they dropped it. And we just covered it all over the city. Candy company says, hey, how much of it do you want and where do you want it? And it was wonderful, the support of I wouldn't want to mention one company because there were four or five of them. They said, where do you want it and how much do you want to send? Tons. It was several tons before they got through.
Wow.
It was a magnificent support from the United States.
Yeah, that's such a great story. You know, that I'm sure the kids really appreciated what you did. You know, sometimes, again, like I said, we take for granted those small things, and even as far as food, that they probably didn't have a lot, and they really appreciated the fact that you took the time to think about them and appreciate them by dropping candy for them.
The thing that made it triggered it for me was that it had me one-on-one, and we talked about everything, but not about candy.
Yeah.
Didn't say they got any candy. Can you give us any candy? They're so grateful for flour to be free that they wouldn't beg for more than freedom. It was everything. And candy was down the list somewhere. I had a few sticks of gum and passed them out and then told them that next time I came into Rhine-Main, but the main base in Berlin, I'd drop some on the approach. And they said, how do you know what airplane? An airplane every 3 minutes. And I said, well, when I first come over the, just before I come over the airfield, I'll wiggle the wings back and forth, wiggle my arms back and forth. When you see the airplane wiggle the wings, that's the one that's got it. Just watch that one. One every 3 minutes. And they said, boy, that's a good idea. We'll watch for it. So the next day I knew what my schedule was for the week. And the next day we bought a bunch of candy bars, and put Hank's parachutes on them, and put them in a cardboard box, and cut the handles in a cardboard box. And so he came over the, when I told him it would, and there they were, waving like mad, wiggled the wings like crazy. And the flight engineer, we're in the flight pattern by then, and the engineer was back and back in. We flew with the doors off and the windows out to pull out the coal dust, the flower dust, even jamming the controls. So we had plenty of avenues to go out. The escape hatch in the back was a good sized hatch. And so they were back there and just had handholds cutting the cardboard boxes. And my buddies and the candy was unrestricted. They too got a whole, we had a whole ton of guys flying. So everybody bought some and tied dangs on it. Came back the next day and wiggled the wings. Boy, they blew up. And they dropped the candy all over there. They got it all and had friends for life.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you ever keep in touch with any of those people still, or do they contact you? Or
I still get one from Ryan, a letter once in a while from
Mercedes.
And the little girl, Mercedes, little 12-year-old girl. And she caught a bunch of it and thanked me for it. And so all my buddies were dropping. And the commanding General Cassidy, they called me in after a few days of this thing. And says, Halverson, what are you doing? And I said, just dropping candy to the kids. He says, I know that. I saw it on TV. Why didn't you ask me? I said, I promised I would do it the next morning, and you were gone somewhere. And he said, well, okay, well, it's a good idea. Keep doing it. So he dropped over, I don't know how many tons, about 13 tons, my buddies and I. They all wanted to help. And we couldn't buy all the candy we wanted. We had to buy it on rations. We rationed in Berlin, and then at that time of the year. And so we had a lot of buddies, so we got a lot of rations. And so we kept dropping till I came home. And we just got the best letters you ever heard. This bunch of them that's mostly unique that said, and the little girl said, well, I was just going to school and got almost inside the gate, and down an airplane dropped a whole bunch of chocolate bars with parachutes. And I got four or five of them. Just, I got a lot of letters like that.
That's great.
They couldn't get candy, and to have it come on a parachute is a special thrill. Yeah. Well, I got tons of letters. All appreciation of Berlin candy bomber, and everybody's did it. And so we dropped several tons of chocolate bars all together.
Yes, that's awesome. Very good. So Hal, Jason and I have come up with two questions that we call the double down dose. So Jason has a question, and I have a question for you.
So that we ask all of our guests these two questions, Hal. And so the first one is, what would you say about hope? What is your definition of hope? Because you obviously provided that to these kids. So what would you say about hope?
Well, hope is an ideal. It's something that's It doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be something better than your present condition, and the hope for better things to come. It's applicable to today and our daily life was then. Not as critical as focus, but the attitude, the other thing that caused me to keep going, it was gratitude. The letters expressed that I was going to school, and all of a sudden, out of one airplane came a whole bunch of parachutes with candy bars on them. And I couldn't believe it. We got three of them. And the excitement of seeing them come from the sky, an angel from heaven, they said, must be sending them down.
That's great. So, thank you for that insight.
I first thought I was going to get a marshal. You got to have people drop stuff out of airplanes,
yeah,
bombs or otherwise. And so, but the General Cassidy, head of the airline, one of the lesser ranking guys, called him up, says, "Oh, you got a guy dropping candy parachutes all over the place." And by that time, the paper came out with it. It was morning. Paper came out with it. It was early morning. And the general called me and says, "Alverson, what are you doing?" And I says, "Well, I'm dropping candy and parachutes." He said, "That's what I heard. Do you have permission?" And, "No, sir. I told the kids I'd drop it the next morning." I didn't have time to go through the routine.
Yeah.
He said, "Keep doing it and keep me advised." So, yeah.
The second part of the double down dose, our last question for you, Hal, is how would you define love?
I define love as being concerned about somebody else more than you are about yourself. And it promotes giving, it promotes interaction, it promotes communication. And caring about somebody else as much as yourself or more. And we're pretty selfish. All of us are selfish in a way.
Yeah.
And if we get rid of that, it takes love to do it.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's great advice. We really have appreciated the time with you, Hal. We're inspired by your stories, and you give us all a lot more hope. So thank you so much for everything you've done for us, and best wishes to you.
Well, thank you. The kids and their letters did it for me, and I still get a couple of letters once. God bless you and what your efforts are, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Hal, and thank you for all you do. And from my understanding, you just got over COVID as well, right?
Well, it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
So you're amazing.
Yeah, no problem there.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Hal, and thank you, Denise, for helping to put this together.
Thank you. It was good to meet you and to talk with you.
Good to see you.
This is Sprinkled with Hope. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend.
If you like our podcast, please give us a review or rating.